Welcome to the Starfound Podcast, an actual play podcast of the tabletop role-playing game Starfinder by the lovely people at Paizo. Now, some of you may know Starfinder and its cousin D&D and may know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you may be totally in the dark. Don't worry, I'm here to fill you in. A tabletop role-playing game mixes the boundaries between long-form improvisation and board games, and what this means is that a group of friends sit around a table and collaboratively tell a story, the outcome of which is decided by rolls on a 20-sided die that's modified by the character's abilities and skills. Now, several of these friends are the players, and they have made characters that are the heroes of the story. Meanwhile, one friend takes on the role of the Game Master, who is sort of the arbiter of the game. They play, but they are also directing the action, you might say. So as the game plays out, if a player wants their character to shoot a laser blaster to hit the target of their bounty in the knee, there are mechanics for that. Or if the heroes need to get into a factory that's producing an army of war robots, they might choose to disguise themselves, or they might try to talk their way in, or they might have some other way of doing it, and we talk it out together. We are recording this second season of Starfound live on twitch.tv/HearthsingerGames every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So go give us a follow right now. The first season is available on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud now, as well as on our YouTube page, so go get caught up. Give us follows, likes, and where you can, write positive or constructive comments. It really helps to get our podcast into the hands of more listeners. New episodes will be released every Wednesday evening, but if you just can't wait that long, head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod and consider pledging at least $5 to get access to the video a whole week earlier, as well as some other sweet patron-only rewards, including private streams and polls that affect the story of the podcast. Now let's meet some of these mooks, our mostly fearless Starfinders.
I'm Anne Richmond, and I play Amaru Yuka, Vlaka Solarian, First Claw of Clan Yuka, and Emotional Support Captain for the crew of the Kingfisher.
I'm Helena Anderson, and I play Jaleskia, a very clumsy Kasathan mystic zoologist, and I believe in the pursuit of knowledge and friendship. Friendship is good, too.
Hi, my name is Parker Wallace, and I play Caster 9, android mechanic and pilot of the Kingfisher. Happy to be of service.
Hi, I'm Dexter Warren, and I play Jabberwocky, a Skittermander Technomancer. I'm a magical boy tech whiz with a love of stories and shinies.
Now sit back, strap in, or at least hold on to something. Let's get Starfound.
I love that that's the funniest thing to everyone is last time on Starfound. Nervous laughter.
I'll tell you later.
Last time on Starfound, the crew discovered an ancient alien creature that was that emerged from underneath the hyperbrine. They investigated a pre-gap like chemical plant of some sort. And they had an unwelcome arrival of their greatest enemy, who just casually slid down onto the planet that they're trying to protect. And it seems like Elo Catch, this very Tesla-driving CEO, maybe they want the same thing as the party. It's hard to tell, though. Right now, they're crash-landed after facing this gigantic mega creature that they've found out has been risen by some sort of black necromantic magic. And now they're trying to set up a camp to be able to solve this problem and potentially get their couple hundred people off-world in the future. Our party, however, has descended into the deeps, finding a massive monolith that has erupted out of the ground of sky. They have made their way into a fissure broken open by this eruption. And as they descended...
Poor fisherman, it's a bad day for
him. This poor fisher, he's been ripped right open.
Abe?
The bad catch.
The red tide.
And deep, deep in the fissure, they found various tunnels created by ancient, it looks like volcanic or geomantic, wrong word, but you get the idea, activity.
Geological.
I mean, geomantic is interesting also because it suggests that there's
earth
a
magic.
Yeah, it's yeah, earth magic.
This is magic earth crystals too, so you're good.
Love that.
And in the one of these tunnels that they've headed down, they ran into these six-legged dog-like creatures with these golden and reddish manes, who were growling at them and approaching aggressively, and then a really well-done sense motive check revealed that they were not growling at the party, but at Amaruk's shadow.
Whoops!
Which began to bubble and writhe until it separated itself from her body and began to grow upwards in three dimensions, wrapping two dark and covered arms around her as we roll for initiative.
Yes. Freeze frame, camera zooms in. I bet you're wondering how I got here, right?
There you have it. All right, let me...
You're rolling for us, right?
I will be rolling for you. Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Let me make sure that everything's working
dice.
Over here.
Good.
The flashy 20.
Boom.
Cool.
Just got my little...
Oh. Everybody remember that on Foundry, we need to click out before we select our enemies so that it helps.
It does help.
Oh my god, that's huge. That's a huge enemy.
It's a large...
It's a large enemy.
I thought that was a landmass, but no.
No, that's the enemy.
Oh!
That's a shadow.
That's a bad boy.
That's the bad boy.
Why am I that close? Oh, no.
So, consent to being this close.
Absolutely not.
Amazing.
You get away from my son.
All right. Let me throw us all into a... game right now, or into an initiative order right now, including our new dog frenemies.
I thought they were lions.
Yeah,
but you know what? It's fine.
Frenemies? Lion dog frenemies. They're why not
cat
both?
Dog.
No.
It's fine. I don't need it to be specific.
We were just talking about cat dog yesterday.
It's true. The ultimate life form.
And to start, Jabby, fortunate enough. Before the shadow can crush you under its snaky boots, you're up.
Great. Can I take a guarded step? Five? I'm within range. Yeah.
You are within range.
I'm
yeah.
Within its. Okay. So can I take a guarded step? This way.
This way. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. So I'm now outside of melee range with it, and. From this distance, you see my gloves start to glow a faint golden light, and silken threads stream out, and I strike forward with my deadly silks, and I roll to hit.
Deadly silks. Is this?
That's an at 20.
Oh, shit. For the future, is this energy or kinetic damage?
This is kinetic.
Nice. All right. Well, I mean, homie, you hitting.
Okay, so I'm reminded, on a crit, we just double the damage?
You double the damage, and if your weapon has any special critical abilities, then those go off as well.
It does not. Is that a D? Okay, yes, that's 3D8. One, two,
bum, bum, bum,
three.
Bum, 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 bum,
Row.
Bum. Oh.
That's 21 times 2. That's 42 points of slashing damage.
Oh,
as just he starts going into a dance as the different small blades humming through the air. go about.
Crap!
Thea's eyes get super wide and she goes, I didn't know you could do that.
So you like whip these threads out, which just cleave through the center of this shadow, dragging its center like smoke out from it, pulling it apart bit by bit. It's like makes this, I'd call it a sound, but none of you but Amarok perceive it.
What is?
You know that it's screaming, right? But it's like the sound of a dog whistle, but deeper.
Ew. Oh.
Darker.
Oh.
Anne was not with that. But Amarok, strike back. It's your turn. Why did that upset you so much?
So I did not. I had already, I believe, summoned my weapon approaching these people to be like, hey, we're cool, but also don't mess with
us. Totally.
I think that's a thing. But assuming I'm that into it, I'll use my swift action to haste myself using my haste circuit in my armor.
Big surprise.
And now let the carnage begin. Cool. All right, great. I will do a first attack. So
Anne's face as she figures out how many times she can kill my NPCs over and over and over again. It's really funny to me.
Right?
And she gets very focused and laser-eyed.
I do. And then I add this number to it. My new number.
What's that new number?
Carry the 10. I get to add an 11 to my attack. But minus 3 because it's a full action. Mm-hmm. So 11 minus 3 is 8, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So plus 8. Cool. Great. Let's see how this first one do.
We haven't even rolled yet. Good.
No, I know. I was entering.
I know. You got it. You got to make it right.
First attack is a 13.
That is a miss.
Does that hit? Okay, great. Second attack, and a hi-ya to you. Now that I know the math, we're good. Is a 20
hit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now we're going with 3d6. We're just letting Foundry do all the work for us. It is a time. wait. Why? I lied. Ignore this.
That's a 3.
That's not a thing. 3. Let's do slash. I'm just going to type it in. 3d6.
Yeah. In the future, 2. If you click the little square on the
dice tray. But then I forgot that I could just do the the whole like number in there, but it didn't.
It didn't do it.
It's for next time. It's
next
fine.
Time.
Plus 12, and I'm attuned to shadow. So 3d6 plus 12 plus 2.
Fighting shadow with shadow.
Yeah.
Oh! Or
I'm sorry, I'm attuned to photon, rather.
Is okay, that is different.
All right, so 27 damage.
All right, that is
As a bright, brutal, searing, radiant weapon lances forward into this mess.
Yeah, it's still your claws, right?
Yeah.
It's like, so here's my question for you, Anne. Well, you've answered this for me before. Is it like Wolverine claws, or are they like claws out of your claws?
They're Wolverine claws.
Okay, cool.
It's like a fist weapon, yeah.
Great, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So you like dodge underneath the slash from this thing and stab upwards in this brutal uppercut, and it gets out of the way for the first one, but you like backhand forward, your flames cleaving across this thing's face, leaving this like searing trail across it as you move forward. Caster!
Yes, it's my turn. All right, so.
Me.
It's me! I'm going to take my level 2 flash grenade, and I'm going to throw it right at the bottom right-hand corner of this
great
NPC's square.
Square Arena, yeah.
Square Arena, so it's just, yeah. I'm going to throw it. Don't say I won't. I'm going to do it. Ooh, that's a good one. Yes, that's 24.
That is a hit.
Yes. So that's going to be 1d4. So the formula that we have for grenades is, has to do with dex save.
Great. He's on it. He's all great. Over.
Oh, you got that?
Yeah.
All over. Great. I'm just making sure.
All right. I what is the DC for your deck save?
That was a good question. So let me see. Grenade. I should have had this on hand. I'm sorry.
Grenade is 10 plus half the grenade's item level plus your dex.
Plus my dex.
Great. Well, then he failed. He failed.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Great. So I'm going to roll a 1d4. He is blinded for 2 turns.
2 turns. Fantastic. It hath been... That's a good one. Marked. All right. Is that the end of your turn, Caster?
So Caster is going to throw his grenade. It's just going to be like mm-hmm. like right underneath, like right on his belt. Just throw. And then before it even explodes, summoned into his hands is a Corona laser rifle. An improved upgrade from his previous one. And he aims it at the Shadow Beast, ready for his next turn.
Does it have a name?
Does it have a name?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
It's got a name, though.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Think on it. Think on it.
I'll think of it. I'll have it definitely by the next turn.
I was just curious. All right. So one of the lion dogs rushes, bounds forward and around the back of this thing. Like moving around the side of this like large rock and bounds over the top of it, lashing forward, and you see like shining, almost like there are implants in this thing's mouth that like sharpen its teeth or make its teeth sharper, and it lashes out at this this dark thing and rolls a natural one. Great. So this dark thing, which hasn't gotten to go yet, this shadow made shape, right? Like twists around like a tornado and grabs this creature and just rends it open. And you see as it pulls it open that it's like its flesh freezes and shatters as it comes apart. Let me see
I
how much
damage
is it doing.
I don't want him to do that to me.
No, Aslan!
Aslan! Not Aslan!
You know, he was on the move, but not fast enough.
It's okay, he comes back. He comes back. It's a Jesus allegory.
It's a Jesus allegory. There you have it. All right, that thing is hurting, but is still on its feet.
Oh boy.
All right, next up, this other one dashes forward, attempting to do the same thing to it, lashes forward with its teeth.
All right, Foundry, all right.
Ooh, that is a hit. Damage. Ooh, and makes solid contact, rending into the back of this thing, like pulling at its back leg, and gets this, like, mouthful of shadow smoke, which, like, bleeds out the side of its mouth, somewhere between gas and liquid. These two down here bound around the side of you, and head up towards it, both of them lashing out as they reach it.
Wowie.
Put them on the hot bar. Boom.
They're so scary.
Really scary.
I really like them, but they make me a fear.
They make me nervy. That is one hit. The other one swings. Ooh, another solid hit. Oh my god. Sometimes you make a creature and you're like, yeah, this is a good fight. And then and then it's not. this could be good.
So amused by the fact that the tokens that we have chosen for the art are just, it's the most derpy Amaruk ever was in episode one. It is not the queen we know her to be now. It is just screaming.
It screams.
She's a very vocal pupper.
Great. So they start to like dash and move around this creature, right? And as this thing like whips back and forth, trying to fight them off, lashing out with these long clawed tendrils, you see that these things are working together, and yips and barks and growls pass back and forth between them as they communicate between them. Cornering and working around their prey. All right, Kia. You heard
it here
first.
Let me know if I can't do both of these things. Okay. But I would like to grab my flashlight and like turn it on and back off and be like, hey, 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 and like go side to side just to see like what its actual reaction is to the light versus the dark. Okay. Can I do that before I cast a spell?
If you want the answer before you cast the spell, then no. But you can do that while
the answer afterwards.
Spell.
Yeah. While casting like the spell, I also, one of my hands is holding the flashlight, and then as I'm casting the spell, mm-hmm. the little clicky click is happening, being like, ha!
Imagine you like a crab with a flashlight.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Just kind of going side to side, trying to be distracting and also trying to get info.
Totally.
What Kia is here for. All right, so she is going to do her classic mind thrust. Her eyes glow the crimson red that she knows and loves of Bessie's aura. And she shoots light energy from her, what do you call this, temple? Yeah, no. What is the middle?
Third eye?
Third eye. Yeah, let's say that. From the third eye, from the Sailor Moon crystal, towards the shadow monster. And she does some damage, unless it can beat a will save of 17.
Ooh, let's see if it can beat that will save of 17.
Can it do?
Can it do? Can do? Excuse me. I burped
a little
bit. Let's
hope it cannot do.
It cannot do.
Yay!
Oh, awesome. Shit. So you take 21 damage.
You. Sorry, I'm just hype squatting Kia here. That's all I have.
No, I appreciate it. I like a hype.
Fantastic.
Squat.
Another one of these lions dashes in, taking its. Wait, can it make it? He can't actually get within range. He can move through here. There we go.
Why can't he go here?
There's a rock there. It's like not quite fully shared space.
Got it.
I see.
Dashes over here and lashes out as well with him teeth.
Arr.
That's how we talk about my dog's teeth.
Him
teeth. He hits as well. Ooh, and does a chunk of damage tearing into this creature. All right, finally, it's the thing's turn. Look at how big that swirly circle is. That make you
that
feel
is a
good?
Whole summoning
that
circle.
Make you feel good about your chances?
No. Thanks, Foundry.
Kia is just scuttling back and forth with a flashlight going click, 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 click.
Oh, I need to give you your answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's the answer there?
As it shines onto it, you are aware of the dust in the darkness that this fight has kicked up. It like the light passes through that dark and creates that effect where you can like kind of see the passage of the light. But as the light mm-hmm. reaches it, it folds into a pinpoint.
Ooh.
Ooh, interesting. Cool.
And as it does that, this thing begins to spin. Like it's on a top. Just around. No. And as it begins to lash out around it, tendrils whipping out until it's this blur of a helicopter blade of claws and shadow. I need everyone who is not in base-to-base contact with it to make a fortitude save.
Everyone who is not in base-to-base contact?
Shanicus Prime says it's a Beyblade, and he's not wrong.
Oh
yeah, everyone who is not in base-to-base contact.
Okay, so I'm good. I'm good.
That's a dirty 20 for me.
Nice.
That is a 15.
That's a 5.
For once, being next to this thing is an advantage.
The Skittermander gets yeeted into the next dimension.
Throw yourself.
Great. Fantastic. So Caster and Jabby get sucked in. One of these Leones needs to make a fortitude save. Let me do that for him real quick.
What's up, Shanicus? Thank you for that follow.
He has
welcome
succeeded.
To the baby
all right. This thing is going to make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 attacks.
Oh, God.
Y'all ready for this?
No, banana.
Absolutely not.
Kia, you're fine. You're safe.
I know, but my friends.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, those sounds. I can't.
Come away from the darkness.
8, 9. It's too good.
Why are so many
Nice. But this time I have the high ground. All right. What are you three's armor class?
Me included?
Which one?
You included.
Okay.
Cool. EAC or KAC?
E.
21.
25.
26.
25?
Yeah.
What the hell happened? What's going on?
The caster's like, I'm not dying again. I'm not dying again. I'm not dying again.
Hey, I need to up my armor class.
Yeah, how is that true? That's
mine is insane. A 17.
Well, that's a problem you should have solved.
Actually, no, it's not, Miles.
Credits.
I mean, you're right, but I wanted the micro serrated sword. I just needed it.
Some of us paid $28,000 slash credits for wings, okay? It's fine.
All right.
Yeah. These are the choices that we made.
Yeah. He did very, very good. He hits everyone. Every single one of you. Like, he did not roll badly at all. All right. Cool. Here comes damage. First for our lion friend on the bottom, who gets just, like, torn as it, like, rips off part of its face as the claws find purchase. Let me see. How does math work? How does math work? All right, there we go. Next up, I know, magnets, man. We're still pondering.
How do they work?
Next up is Caster. That is only 14 points of damage for you, Caster. I'm letting you handle that yourself. Next up is Jabby, who is going to take 16 points of damage. Next up, another lion, who is going to... Oh, why are we killing the lions, but not my targets, my true foes? This one, like, gets battered away as, like, the side of a claw aimed for Amaruk slams into its side. And even among the swirling, like, dervish, you can hear the crunch of its ribs. This is for you, Amaruk, just for you, just because I love you.
Yeah. Oh,
13.
I'm fine.
Our final three lions. We roll these. Boom. And boom. And
that's 13 damage?
13 damage, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Fantastic. More of them just get shredded apart as this thing spins around and around. And as you finish as it like comes slowly to a stop and like looks down over you, these like slightly redder eyes staring down at you. The dust that it's kicked up has like filled the room. All right. One more angry Leon who is going to do his worst against this sucker.
Come on, angry Leon.
Angry Leon. Leon du Rage. All right. He hits and he is going to do solid damage to this sucker. All right. Fantastic. That is the end of their turns. Jabby, you're up. Jabby, you're muted.
Thank you so much, because I completely forgot. I would love to take one more guarded step. Because absolutely not. And after seeing that and seeing all the damage and seeing Kia do stuff with lights, I was thinking, okay, well, if we need some more lights. And the dance changes as the bladed wires retract. And one by one, each of the ruined hands light up with an arcing blue energy. And suddenly he puffs up like a Pomeranian cast arcing surge as lightning starts to channel between all six arms and just kind of Death Star beams into it. Right. And it needs to make a reflex save DC 18.
All right, let's see how it
goes. I'm going to cry. Skittermander Pomeranian.
Oh, he rolls a natural 2 on the dice. That's a failure.
All right. Then that's going to be 10d6.
Oh, girl.
30 damage.
How do you want to do this, Jabby? How do you want to...
Oh, my God!
I would love to, as this is my first time, it's like, okay, well, you know what? Might as well try it. He's not used to the knockback of it. And he kind of just is like, hey, Laura, too, I hope you're watching. I figured that spell out. And completely goes flying backwards and lands on his butt as it just shoots through this creature.
It just, Jesus like, Christ. The lightning goes clean through the thing, and you watch the fire from the lightning, like, spark out in that weird, oh my god. Have you guys ever seen lightning scars?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god.
Yeah. The light like trails along through this thing as it screams horribly. Yeah. And all of the dogs in the various different, all of these lion dogs like cower and cover their ears with their paws as this thing disintegrates until he's nothing but echoes in the cave.
What the hell was that?
I look up. Did we get him?
Yeah. And Kia goes and like picks you up, kind of. She means to help you up, but she accidentally kind of like picks you up and puts you down. That was stunning. That was absolutely stunning. Oh.
Sparking still. It's like so static energy. You go to pick up
a bounce sheet.
Yeah.
A bounce sheet.
Probably have those on Yeah, I'll invest in those.
Yeah, good call.
She kind of is just looking in disbelief between this Super Saiyan Jabby and this thing, and she goes, You basically killed that thing in less than 6 seconds. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. She like goes over and like picks you up and like puts you on her shoulder as if like she's gonna turn around. There's gonna be a crowd to cheer you, but there's just lion friends.
There's just the lion friends who have gone over to each other and are licking the wounded one's wounds.
Yeah.
And there are several of them who are kind of eyeballing you. This very serious look on their faces.
She slowly puts Jack down on the ground. Sorry.
I'm hiding my disappointment at the lack of uppies.
Well, I mean, you can sit up there. I just didn't want to make a big deal. Anyways.
Lack of uppies.
Excuse me, new friends. What is this voice? I'm really struggling.
Take your time.
Who is this character? It's going to happen today. There she is. Okay, let's do it. So she sort of starts moving across the cave floor towards them. And she says, hello, I am very sorry to have brought such violence into our meeting. I am First Claw Amaruk Yuka. We come from Bright Claw, or Machul Alpha, as you might know it. Who do I have the honor of greeting?
The three of them that are kind of like guarding the wounded ones look up at you.
Yeah.
Completely impassively.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Impassive? I know what passive is.
Impassively. Maybe I'm using this word wrong. I've never looked up a word.
It sounds mid-game. Right.
Giving no, I know what it means. I just want to give you the right definition. Giving
not feeling or showing emotion.
Giving no sign or feeling of emotion. Expression.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she says, "I'm sorry. Do you speak common?"
Just no response. No response at all.
Okay. She looks back over. She looks up at Jabby, who's now on her shoulder again. And she's like, I don't know what to do. This has never happened before.
Can I
make a zoology check to see if I've encountered anything similar to these lion dogs?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a 17.
I mean, there are plenty of examples of simple language among beasts, right? Blink dogs are a great example, right? Especially magical creatures are more likely to have a higher intelligence and are able to understand more of our languages, and also are more able to create their own languages. But common, probably a stretch for them, especially if very few people have ever been to this planet before from the Pact world, right? Right. So galactic common is going to be a little, might be a stretch to expect them to know.
Okay, so with this knowledge, Kia goes to the largest of the lions and bows, thinking, okay, find the alpha and bow to it.
I love that. It, like, you bow in front of it, and it, like, kind of gets up a little bit on all fours and backs up and looks at you a little confusedly and looks over at its friends and back at you and go.
Kia just sits down in front of it and looks at it questioningly.
Question.
Yes, Jabby.
Does it sound like language?
It sounds like communication.
I'd like to go ahead and cast Comprehend Languages just in case.
Great. How long does that last for, out of curiosity?
11 minutes because of level.
Cool. Great. Can I get a perception check from one of you? The best of you?
Sure. I think that's probably me. Kia.
That's probably me.
Yeah. Our wisdom monkey.
Great. Yeah, that's a 33.
Oh.
You hear footsteps coming from the south.
I stand up kind of quickly from my seated position. We have company. Footsteps from the south. We should probably... can I tell how many?
That excellent roll, it sounds like a couple, but not like a horde. The other thing that I will tell you is that the footsteps sound very, very heavy.
Okay. She says, whatever this thing is, let's get ready to either attack it or meet it head on, but maybe we hide. I don't know.
Maybe we hide behind this rock.
Yeah,
this points to the rock nearby.
As they say hide, Caster is going to, like, flip a switch inside the inlay of his jacket, and he starts to disappear completely.
Yeah. You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
What is this piece of equipment? Sorry, what?
It is called a lightweight inlay.
All right.
Light wrap inlay.
Light wrap. Good. Nice. Lightweight inlay.
That sounds like a nice spa treatment. Honestly, I'm down.
No.
Miles, let me ask you, how tall is this cavern? Are there any like stalactites, stalagmites up
there? The cavern is about 50 feet high.
Okay. So I'm going to fly up using my wings. I'm going to fly up to hide behind a stalactite up there.
Great.
Or might stalactite. Tight from the ceiling?
It's like tight because they cling tight.
Yeah.
I actually said a different thing a little while ago when we were in a cave, but I was wrong. I got taught by one of my players in my Eberron game.
Hey.
So you learn something every day. All right.
Yeah. So my giant wings extend as I'm standing next to the lion, and I just, they beat a couple of times, and I'm up in the thing, and I'm going to roll for stealth.
Fantastic. Go for it. Caster's like, I'm out. Caster on the Foundry page is just moving into the corner quietly.
Yeah, literally just moving away. And Caster moves away into the corner. Completely invisible.
Okay, Bilbo Baggins.
Listen, that's a Geordie accent. It's not, I mean, I don't know.
I'd like to also hide on the ceiling. Just
whip. All right, 14.
All sure, I'm up there. Right, fantastic, great.
Kia's like looking around. One of them flew. Another one disappeared. Another one went to the ceiling, and she's like trying to crouch behind a rock. And she goes, "Oh well, if we're taking it this seriously." And she like presses a button on her suit, and her kind of burrowy mole looking outfit comes on, and she like burrows into the ground and creates a little hole for herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are so cool.
So ridiculous. So you can hear the footsteps approaching closer and closer. And as you're looking down, you can see that the dogs are responding as well. And they start to line up facing on their haunches, sitting back. They've kind of relaxed a little bit, and as this the sound of these footsteps gets closer and closer and closer, and your tension and curiosity rises. You then feel a remarkably familiar wave of energy pass over you. I need everyone. Mm-hmm. Kia knows what's up. I need everyone to roll a will save.
I called it.
What? I hate this.
Well, I rolled a nat one, so.
22.
Fantastic.
19.
All right.
11.
And a 9. Beautiful. Exact opposite of what happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
Jabby, Kia, Amaruk, you fall asleep.
Amaruk, I fall from the ceiling.
Yeah, you do. You do. However,
I too fall from the ceiling.
I'm wondering if your tech keeps you up there, if you're like your webbing keeps you up there.
That's fair. I guess I would just like.
Jabby's just like just hanging like, off the ceiling. Like, Kia is snoring underground.
Yeah, I'm like fully in hibernation mode.
I'm never gonna be awake for these things. Okay, it's fine.
Caster, perfectly invisible and undetectable, in the corner, watches Amaruk fall from the ceiling. The dogs stand up and catch her gently on their backs.
Oh, that's nice.
And set her down on the ground before going back to sit and then falling asleep themselves, every single one of them. And
oh, that was really nice of you.
Around the corner come these two kind of luminous skinned creatures. They're not pale. They're not tanned. Their skin kind of glows a little bit with this soft golden glow, kind of like the reflection of sunlight. And their hair tumbles down their back, latched into various carefully organized braids and jewelry pieces in this dark, dark tumbles and arcs. They carry weapons fashioned of some kind of scrap metal, right? A long blade fashioned with a handle wrapped in some kind of leathery creature's skin. A spear, two javelins on each of their backs, rather, which have the spikes, like barbed spikes on the top of it, of like patched together and melted together bits of scrap metal, and long, long rebar hafts. All of it dripping in iconography of various different kinds. Little bones, little trinkets, little pieces of metal carved or embossed with designs of a million different sorts. Caster, you're awake. You get to see this. Do you have any questions?
Yeah. How much time has elapsed between me going invisible and me seeing
them? Less than a minute.
Great.
How long do you have?
I have a minute.
Great. Okay, cool.
I'm ready to roll stealth if I need
to. So you, like, tuck yourself deeper into the little corner that you found and, like, gently peek out. You watch these creatures pull braided, corded rope. It looks like it's made of electrical wire off of their hips and gently tie the ankles and wrists of your three companions. And they drape them gently over the backs of the of like two of the large dogs each, right? Who then walk in tandem as they begin to move away.
You said they fell asleep? I thought they said the dogs fell asleep too, or only
I missed the first step that these gigantic creatures did. They woke each of the dogs up gently by tugging on their ear twice.
Babies. I love how I'm like, I'm being captured and I couldn't be more excited. Like, I just.
Yeah. how giant are these creatures?
They are about 25-ish feet tall. They're humanoid.
Okay, so I thought they were just two guys. Just
two guys.
Chilling in the hot tub, 6 feet apart because
not gay.
Not gay.
All right.
Well, that throws a monkey wrench in my plans.
It's just going to be grenade time, and now it's...
Yeah, I was just going to... Oh, that was an ambush time, but now... let me see what I can do. I wish I could fashion, like, some sort of, like, tracking device, but I don't have anything like that. Although I do.
You're a mechanic.
You are.
That is true. Can I...
You also have that spell now, too, where you can track anyone.
Yes, I do. All right. Well, I'm just going to follow them. Stealth. You know, my invisibility is going to wear off soon.
Average guys so doing average things. Yeah. So make me a stealth check. Why don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I can.
And I'll roll against you.
I mean, it could be grenade time if you want.
If you want.
You're right, Smuggles. Grenade time. Whew, okay, that's 18.
18. Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
A very serviceable roll.
I know.
Like this.
They begin to move away with your friends. The dogs who are carrying them march in perfect time together. Their soft bumps of their, like, movement as they kind of trot forward. Almost like lulling your partners deeper into sleep as they continue forward. They, between the two of them, speak occasionally. Speak back and forth between them. Their language is sharp. It's intense. It has... a large amount of vowels, but vowels that are used aggressively and tonally to communicate a wide variety of things, it seems like. And as you continue forward, following them slowly, you pass through just the beginnings of what it seems like is a vein of these crystals, quartz. Massive quartz vein until you're walking around fields of quartz crystals which spring up from the ground, some of them erupting as large as trees as you head deeper and deeper and deeper, winding back and forth. At one point you think that you've lost them, and then the echo of their voice attracts you to a side passage that you wouldn't have noticed if you hadn't have heard them. Another approximately 500 feet, but distance and time are ceasing to have any meaning this deep underground. You find yourself to be you are certain that you could not find your way out if you were left alone now.
Mm.
Until finally you can hear the sounds of more voices up ahead and other sounds, animal sounds, the sounds of these dogs barking and yipping. Also, think you hear the sounds of birds? Until you round a corner and see through a crack in the rock ahead a large amount of green stretching out. It's like a ways away from you, like a good 100 feet away from you. It seems like this small crack in the rock opens up to a larger room, and you think you see green, some kind of like maybe a garden or something, perhaps a hydroponic garden. It's a little bit difficult to see from where you are. And at the end, like far, far away, you see this bright, brilliant light. It looks like sunlight. And if you wonder if you've been completely... turned around in your head and you've been going up instead of down the whole time. And then you feel another wave of sleepiness pass over you. I need you to make another will save.
Oh boy.
boy. Journey to the center of the earth.
Journey to the center of the earth, or it's sleepy time.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
23.
Parker, you earn more answers.
Yeah! Do not go gentle.
Do not.
Nice. Nicely done. Really, really nicely done. You, like, resist it, but you're aware that there's, like, as you've gotten closer, there's more of this energy up ahead, right? You are able to get your rifle out slowly and lift the scope to your eye, and you can see down distant through this little crack, right? Which is a little crack from where you are, right? But it's wide enough for these creatures to easily fit through. It looks like two at a time.
Ah, great.
So it looks like an entrance, and indeed you can see what look like guards standing on either side, and it looks like you can also see the caravan with your friends up ahead, walking through what looks like a field of flowers.
Poppies will make them sleep.
I was about to say that.
Poppy-like flowers grow up from the ground, orange and red, blossoming in this fiery and resilient bloom. And you think that you can see from the ceiling that there are some kind of vines dangling down with brilliant teal-looking fruit hanging, swaying off of them. And further ahead, this bright light you can see, it blasts your eyes too much that you can't make out too many details, but somewhere probably half a mile to a whole mile ahead of you is this brilliant sunlight.
So to get the layout of this in the theater of the mind,
mm-hmm.
I see my caravan
mm-hmm.
Being carried away into the crack, into the garden.
Yeah.
And then there's a separate separate
pathway. No separate pathway. This is all that one
opening. Oh, great. Oh,
opening.
That makes my job a lot easier then. I'll do it. I'll try to stealth inside. I would assume that my light wrap inlay has been exhausted.
Yeah.
Because long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just going to have to do it the old fashioned way. And if things go badly, well, I have a few tricks up my sleeve. Actually, you know what? wait, can I do that?
Can you? What's the that?
You know what?
Think out loud with us. Yeah.
I'm going to do something cool. I'm going to take one of my spare batteries that I have. I'm going to put it onto the ground, and I'm going to hook, like, if there's like a vine of these poppy flowers, I'm going to connect them like they're wires, and have the battery like spread.
Oh.
And use it as natural computer so I can surveil the area in front of me.
Okay.
The flowers.
I mean, that's an awesome idea, but the vines are 100 feet ahead of you, at least.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I'm just going to have to sneak towards them
thinking.
And then do that.
Good thinking. Yeah. All right. Then make your stealth roll.
I'm going to make my stealth roll. I got to...
Oh, my God.
17.
I'm so anxious.
17. Nice. Let me roll against you. Let me roll some perception. Parker. Hey, Ellie. Welcome.
Hey.
You are really lucky tonight.
Oh, yes.
Jesus Christ.
As you, like, carefully move along the wall, just, like, carefully scooching your way past, right? it's just the moment that something attracts these two guards' attention, right? A wheelbarrow has approached full of what looked like the puppies of these dogs. who are just barking and yipping and trying to jump out. The one acceptable reason for guards to be distracted. Puppy barrel. I made Elena cry. It's fine.
Yes.
Thinking about the puppies.
Oh, the little lion dog puppies all in a barrel. They're so happy to be there.
It is like one of the weird parts about this pandemic means that like you can't just go up to somebody and be like, would it be all right if I pet your dog? You can say no, right?
So
you just miss out on a lot of the puppies. Yeah.
Continue with the story.
So they like go over and you hear cooing and and you like kind of like squeeze by and like dash over towards like a series of crates that are like very metal and very industrial, very, very,
oh my god,
very much in contradiction with the rest of the things in the area. Now, Parker, I'm gonna give you like your impression of what's going on around you, but where do you want to go? Do you want to go after your friends? Do you want to go somewhere else? Right? Or do you want to hide and try to get a better sense of the area? Because you could like crawl through the fields. These poppies are tall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are they? Oh, interesting. Can I do my natural computer thing to get a lay of the land?
Yes. Yes, you may. Yes. Now, this is so fascinating. I love the idea of you grabbing the two vines and pulling them together, right? And wiring them in. So tell me how natural computer works again.
So, I'll pull that up right now, but basically how natural computer works is that I used an unworked surface, something natural, earth, wood, something like that, and I plug a battery into it. It's one charge per hour, and it allows me to keep track of the attuned surface to a certain range. I think it's like 600.
Surveil for me, it's like 350
feet. And then I can also visually create a surveillance square of 30 feet.
Yeah, so it can see 30 feet out from itself. And
I love the idea that, like, okay, tell me if you hate this, but in my brain, it's like because it's all organic pieces, it's like the ants and little like flowers and bugs become all the blips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they all start like tracking everything, creating the map and all the stuff with like different leaves. And I don't know. It's very exciting to me.
I love that. So here's what this is going to do for you, because it looks like it's from the place that you're casting the spell, right? So you're going to know what's going on at the entrance.
Oh, yeah.
I just want everyone out there in the dark to know that Helena is still crying about the puppies.
No, I'm crying about the bugs.
Oh,
it's always something.
Just the bug buddies.
It's just really cute. We're all helping each other.
Yeah, that's really good.
I'm sorry. I really hope you're part of that Facebook group. What?
I really hope you're part of that Facebook group where we all pretend to be ants, because I think you'd really like it.
What?
Okay, text me after.
We'll do.
Oh my god.
Okay.
So then what happens? What is happening?
Right, so you're going to get a 30 feet visual range. You can kind of see where all the vines are around you. So you already had that information. Yeah. So now you like know in the future what's going on around here, right? Yeah. Because with your range.
I know the general direction and distance of attuned materials.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use the interface to surveil its surroundings at distance of up to 50 feet times mechanic level.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 45 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, mechanical. 50 level. Feet Excuse times. So that's different. That's different. So that's 300 feet.
Yeah, that's way different. That's a different number.
Yeah.
Scenario? Yeah, and yes, so that's for materials for the vines, right? For other vines.
So I'm
vines.
Aware of the way I picture it is that like I'm aware of where the vines are and how far they spread in that radius.
Yeah.
Like a sonar or a radar.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's just a fuzzy image. I can't. And then the surveillance square is the actual, like, I can see all of this, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. And then you're going to dive after your friends?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Make me another stealth check.
Please.
Oh, third time. I'm going to have to use a different, because you rolled like a 7 last time. Oh, gosh. might be it, but I won't. Positive energies.
So positive. Wow.
It's so positive.
What's your total?
That is 28.
Oh.
Great. Damn it, you're unstoppable. What the fuck is
this has to fall apart sometime. And
it has to.
I'm very scared because you're playing the most dangerous game of Starfinder right now.
Yeah.
Room.
So you start to creep through these poppy fields, right? And they like move past you and you're aware that for the first time ever, probably because it's something that we take for granted, right? That there is no wind in this field of flowers. It is perfectly still. So you move very carefully between these long leafed stalks, and above you, these fiery plants kind of like glow up above. And in the underbrush, right, you see insects moving and moving and shifting around. Most of them. Especially the ones that like clamber up the sides of these flowers, are covered, had this little spine of, it looks almost like glass. Ooh. Turns more and more transparent as it spreads away from their body. And you think you see an old one that has this like large shard kind of waving back and forth above it, almost like this translucent sail. And you continue inwards, trying to follow your friends, and they, it looks like, take a left turn about halfway into the field, and head towards what looks like a series of structures on the left side of this large room. You also get to look around. I haven't given you information about the rest of the room, as you have been, like, desperately trying to make your way through in giant land. It seems like there are several different almost outposts at various different corners, but most of the buildings, which are made out of stone and are built up, and many of them are stuccoed, and have little windowless windows, glassless windows. Windowless windows makes no sense. Glass.
So poetic. I love that.
Little glassless windows and doors with what looks like some kind of space age fabric or cloth over the front of it, are surrounding this central, it almost looks like a pyre in the middle. This gigantic pyre is the wrong word, maybe more like a monolith, like some kind of large technological structure. Tubes and wires wrap around this central kind of staircase that leads up and up and up. And it kind of leads to this central. What is it? How do I put this? This central tube cylinder. And the cylinder, it looks like, is some kind of glass or transparent substance. And inside of it, it sure seems like there is a very small sun.
No way.
It radiates and pulses on your skin. It feels like sunlight. You think that if you stayed out long enough that you would get sunburnt in the strange way that androids do. You follow your party, though, heading towards this small block. The block of buildings to the left is not made of stone. It looks like the pre-gap structures that you've encountered. Angled buildings made of this very, very high density concrete and high density steels, right? And they appear to be bringing your friends straight into the front of a walled stone gate that surrounds the outside of it.
Ooh, okay. Walled stone gate. Ooh, okay. I mean, I could, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, stealth again and see if I can get past the stone gate. How high is this stone gate? I assume it's like at least 25 feet. It's not a thing I can climb up.
It is, yeah. it's more than 25 feet. It's a wall for giants.
Yes. That, yeah, I assumed as much.
So for us, it would be like, yeah, 25 feet. For giants, it's, well, let me see. What's the math there? It's about 100, 200 feet tall.
Cool.
Whew. But remember, you're just an ant.
I'm just an
ant among aphids.
A little ant.
A little baby ant.
In the poppy fields. You know what? I have an idea. I do have a smoke grenade.
What are you going to do with that smoke grenade? What are you going to do with that smoke grenade?
Yeah. You know what? I think I might. No.
Whoa. All right, Parker, what's going on? What's the plan here? Here's the question. Do you have more questions for me? Because I haven't told you that much.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, sure. The gate, what does it look like?
The gate is made of scrap metal steel. It looks very Mad Max-ish, right? Kind of like cobbled together and welded on to itself, right? It is just as large as the surrounding walls. It doesn't seem like the walls are meant to be stood on, right?
Yeah, no. It's like a bit, like it's opaque, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's like it's completely solid. It's no intricate designs or anything like that. Oh, I see. Okay, so that means I have to do something a little different. Okay, so. I also have a flare from when we went to the other pre-gap structure in
Module
Alpha.
Cool.
In Brightfall.
Anne's like, great, but how are you saving me?
In my head, I was like, oh, I wouldn't have a problem with that wall if I were conscious because I could just fly over it.
Yeah.
All right. Parker, what is Caster doing?
And I'm guessing there's no technology for me to hack because it seems to be a very.
That is a great question. That is a very, very good question.
You know what? I'm going to have to do it. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hack the monolith in the center. So it malfunctions a little bit and it starts an alarm.
You're going to have to get a lot closer.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Great. Stealth check.
Can it continue? Yeah. This is what the people want to know.
Place your bets now.
I'm sending all of my chi into this dice. 9, that's a 19.
Great. Fantastic. So you begin to make your way over towards this large monolith, right? And you get within like spitting distance of it, just outside of this like central city almost. It seems from what you can see, like it would house about 500 people of gigantic size. And as you make your way over, there's this flurry of birds of paradise, these reptilian creatures that soar overhead, cawing and squawking and hissing. They have these like kind of almost parrot like beaks on their mouths, which are made of, it looks like some kind of stone, right? Almost like graphite. And as they fly, they leave behind this trail of dust that falls over the poppies. And you settle yourself in just at the edge of the fields and pull out your computer and begin to search for a node to find your way in. Something wireless, something that your computer can latch onto. You know, it's a little bit difficult with these pre-gap structures, but eventually you find one. And you like weasel your way inside. Computers check.
Computers check. This one I don't have to worry about too much. Do-do-do-do-do, big crunchy numbers. Do-do-do-do, big crunchy numbers. Do-do-do-do, big crunchy numbers. I throw the dice. And it's a 31.
You find your way inside, and you begin to poke around at this ancient system, which is remarkably simple, but, like, deeply, deeply well-defended, with layers on layers on layers of encryption. And as you begin to poke around, you become aware that something is the equivalent of being right behind you, digitally.
Digitally?
Something is watching you. And across your screen, across your screen, you see the text pop up. I see you. And hands reach down and grab you out of your hiding place, wrapping you up in massive arms as rope is wrapped around you. I'm gonna move us forward, not give you saves against this, because they're very strong. They are very strong.
You got me.
You got me.
You got me.
There it is.
I've had a good run.
Caster's like, I'm lost. What are you talking about? Where's the food court?
I know when to surrender.
Amazing.
You are bound, your head is shoved in some kind of cloth, and you are dragged, kicking and screaming, across. And you hear a, like, sort of familiar sound that you recognize just because of the intensity of the situation, of the gate of scrap metal shutting behind you. And that is where we are going to take our break.
Oh, man.
Breaky, 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 breaky. Yeah!
God damn. Holy. That was none of that was supposed to happen this session. That was supposed to be like, you have to earn these secrets. Nope, you get them all. Get them all up front.
I was just very lucky. That's all
just
I was.
Very
all
lucky.
Luck of the dice.
And fine, all, and then. I'll tell you my secrets.
A 20s in computers and a 10 in stealth. Sometimes just enough to get you.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
That was great.
So we will be right back. I'm super excited to continue this. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you so much for listening to Starfound. Once again, please leave us a like or a follow or whatever it is, and a positive review wherever you are listening. And please head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod in order to pledge to help support us and get some added benefits and a mess of extra Starfound content. And remember, you can tip in order to help or hinder the players at streamlabs.com/hearthsingergames. Thank you again for listening and for your support, and we'll be back next week. See you soon, Starfam. This podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Incorporated, which are used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo Incorporated. For more information about Paizo's community use policy, please visit paizo.com/community use. For more information about Paizo Incorporated and Paizo products, please visit paizo.com.
Music by Murder Sauce.